I appreciate, like I said, being here. Appreciate the service. And Robert was talking about the memories. I tell people that I am real blessed with memories. And not only does it take a song to bring back, I tell people, I said, sometimes the slightest smell brings back something other. The happening, the seeing. And every memory I've got is good. I know there was still some bad times through there, but I'm going to say God protects me from that, if that makes sense. In school, I didn't like reading. I didn't like writing. Anything that considered you having to think about something, I didn't like doing it. That's why even whenever the Lord was really dealing with me about preaching, I questioned him about, are you sure about this? Because you know how I am. But I find myself later on in life that I enjoy doing them things that I didn't enjoy then. And I didn't consider myself a writer, but I want to read something other that the Lord gave me about 2 o'clock one morning. And I guess dealing with the memory situations. But I titled it Yesterday. I said, yesterday you have something that tomorrow don't, and that's memories. I've been blessed with a lot of yesterdays in my life. There's probably more yesterdays in my past that I don't remember than there are that I do remember. But even if I don't remember, they still help mold me into who I am. But the ones I do remember has made an everlasting impact on me. When I start thinking of the bad, the sad, and the uncomfortable yesterdays, I start looking at the joyful, the peaceful, and the blessed yesterdays, which, by the grace of God, outnumber and outweighs the hard yesterdays. But I don't want to cut tomorrow short. It's still important. I can use it to fix the sadness, the anger, and the disappointments that I may have created today. When today becomes yesterday, as long as we can talk about yesterday, we know that we have a today. But let's not take today for granted, because unlike having a yesterday, we're not granted a tomorrow. Now, little things like that may not mean much to nobody else, but just because he spent a little bit of time with me, it means a whole lot to me. But we got something that we're just going to read, and we'll just do what comes of it, I reckon. But we're going to read in Genesis chapter 11. And then we'll read the last verse in Judges, in the book of Judges. Very familiar scripture, but I hadn't never really just sat and pondered on it or thought about a whole lot of it. But we'll read it, and then if the Lord gives us something, we'll say on it. And if not, we'll read it anyway, but chapter 11, we'll start with the first verse. It says, then the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. that we may make brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city, and a tower which top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and as they begin to do, and now nothing will restrain them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off build the city. And the last verse in the book of Judges, it reads, in those days there were no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I started thinking about the Tower of Babel. That's what they end up calling it. And just started reading on it, and I started talking to the Lord, and I prayed to him, and I said, Lord, I want to see it. I want to see it happening. Thinking of what was going on then, just the situation of all, of everybody just together, I just like to see it. And he told me, start paying attention to what's going on around you, because the same thing's going on today. They may not be out there literally picking a brick up and building a city, but they're all trying to come with one mind to work something other out. These people, they was starting to come in with their problem is they was leaving the Lord out of the situation. They was creating a way that they could just go on to heaven the way they wanted to go. And the same thing is happening today. If you start talking to anybody, everybody that has passed away, everybody's going to heaven. They was a good boy, they was a good girl, they was a good man, they was a good father, they was good. Everything that they did, everybody was going to heaven. Because some people think they figured out a different way to get there, evidently, and they ain't. The Bible speaks on and around about that there's no other name given under heaven in which a man shall be saved other than Jesus Christ. And we think that we ought to just get along, and that's the way everybody thinks, is everybody ought to just get along with each other. Now, I ain't telling nobody to go out there and start trying to browbeat people into anything. But there's some things that's happening in this world that we should not be going along with. You see, the world has still got a confounded language that they cannot understand. I didn't understand it, Carrie, when I was growing up. I sang Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. It felt okay. It was good. I seen my elder folks rejoice. I seen them shout. I seen them do things not understanding of what it didn't have a clue of what was really going on. Yeah. The language was confounded to me. Yeah. But there came a day when the Spirit came to me and introduced me to that language. Now, sometimes if I still ain't in the right frame of mind, and a man really gets deep in the Spirit, I still might not understand some of what he's saying. But if I get my heart where it's supposed to be, I can understand that language. But the world, they say, let's just get along. If you say anything out of the way, they think we're mad at them. You tell them the truth, they think you're mad at them. And some of the problem, let me say the biggest portion of the problem, is the people that's trying to carry the Christian name and partaking of what's in the world. Now, I ain't talking about going to school, and I ain't talking about working. I ain't talking about going to the grocery store. I'm talking about the true activities that the world does. Now, I had already said this one time out there, but they got this slogan. Some of you may have seen it by now, too. They got it on lapels. They got it on things that says, "He gets us. He gets us." Well, when I very first started seeing that, okay, I thought. But then I really looked up why that they started that. The fellow that started the slogan, he said he was wanting to give the church a better image than what they had. Well, I'm going to tell you, first of all, God does not need no props from me to straighten up anything. The individual person, somewhere down the line, I'm going to make you mad. I'm going to do something other that ain't right. And I'm going to do something that's going to hurt your feelings. I'm going to do something other that ain't good. And for a lot of people, that's going to give them excuses of saying, "That's why I ain't going there, because of him." Now, I'm going to tell you, whatever excuse anybody might have, when they draw their last breath, their bucket ain't going to hold water. But I can't go along with it. He gets us. Yes, our heartaches that we have, he had it. He gets us. The sadness, I can understand it. He gets us. They said, "There's nothing that I hadn't been through that he has not faced." And he gets that. But the problem that I'm having is this. Now they've said, "He gets all of us." In other words, he's going to accept anything that comes along, and it's going to be okay, and it ain't that way. Amen. I did not write what's in this book. Yeah. It was well established before the foundations of the earth was even made. Yeah. And it's going to be here whenever the end comes. Yeah. Still, the only way through to God is through Jesus. And the only way to him is with that broken heart and a contrite spirit. They're looking for some comfortability. And if we give them comfortability, then we've did them wrong. There again, I'm still not walking around trying to tell people just to beat up people at all. But the life that we live should be representing him enough that they should be ashamed of what they are doing. Because I'm going to tell you this, I've been out there. And when I've been out there, and I worked at Walmart, Miss Eldest would come in, and I would go to another part, and I was even born again, but I was ashamed. Not only her, but anybody that was truly living for God, Jeff, there was a conviction that came up on me. That's what people don't want to feel. They don't want to feel the conviction. Now, I think I've said this one time before. I got down beside my bed one day, and I was starting to pray, and I felt all cramped up. I don't know if you've ever tried to stop a prayer and then get right back in it, but it don't work that way. But I was feeling uncomfortable how I was crouched down in there. And I told God, I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "Because I'm uncomfortable." He said, "Well, how comfortable do you think my son was?" He said, "You think he was comfortable when he was praying for you in the Garden of Gethsemane until his sweat became as great drops of blood. You think he felt comfortable when he was carrying the cross on his back? They was whipping him, spit. Do you think he was comfortable? Do you think Paul and Silas was comfortable when they were sitting in prison down there but still singing the praises? You think Peter was comfortable whenever he was locked in chains and the church was praying for him? That's the problem that we're facing, is everybody wants to be comfortable. Well, the only way I can be comfortable is if I'm in the center of God's will. And it takes a little bit to get there. It takes a lot of self-denying to get comfortable. But it takes some uncomfortable situations to get there. These people was wanting a name for their self. But I'm going to build something other to get to God anyway. The world is still trying the same thing today, and it ain't going to work. Over here, it says, and there was no king in that day in Israel. Now, that's the problem today. They don't want the king to be king, but they'll do right in their own eyes. But let's don't say nothing to them. We don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I'm going to tell you, Steve, when the Spirit introduced itself to me that night, I'm going to tell you, my feelings got hurt. Because all of a sudden, I found myself in a lone area. He done pulled that safe away from me. I've said it before. I sat right up here. Tracy done already went down. I don't like being alone. I'm just telling you. I like people. I like being around y'all. I like being around people. I don't like being by myself. But that night, after everybody left the choir to go pray for a lost one, then all of a sudden I become lost. And it didn't feel good. I'm just going to tell you, he pulled a safety away from me, the safe area away from me, and it hurt my feelings. But I'm going to tell you what he also did. He didn't leave me there. The choice became mine to either come to me or just stay alone. I would have still had a mom and a daddy and a brother and a sister and a church, but I was still being all alone when it comes right down to it. So the world is staying in uncomfortableness, trying to be comfortable in it, and y'all just don't rock my boat by doing what the church is supposed to be doing. He don't get us. When I willfully sin, he does not get it. He don't get it. Because he never willfully sinned. He took all the other. He took the heartaches, troubles, and trials. The hard times. But for me, to ever stand here and try to force God into accepting what I want him to accept, shame on me. It's done been tried. Cain brought it. He expected God to accept what he brought. And it wasn't God's fault that he didn't. But he sure got mad at him, didn't he? Then you had King Saul with all the sacrifice stuff there that wasn't even his to start with, but couldn't even wait on Samuel, but I'll do it anyway, expecting God to accept it. The only thing that created was God cutting him off. If you want God to cut you off, try to just give him anything. See if it works. Matter of fact, did he not say over, and I think Randy said it here recently, he said, would you bring all this, the lame and the sick, would you bring it to your governors? But you expect me to take it. We want to walk around and tell him it's my life. I'll do what I want to. It's how I want to do it, and it's okay. Well, it ain't. There's one scripture that's in here that I guess if we was going to have to tire one out just to get rid of it, one of them would have to be, if eating meat offends my brother, then I'll not eat meat. Because I'm going to tell you, they are some true offensive things. They are. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you this. Jesus told his disciples, you are going to be offended of me tonight. So they are some things that is really, truly offensive. But to use it as an excuse of not serving the Lord like we need to, it won't hold water. So whatever the world is trying to build, it ain't going to work. Robert leads the song quite a bit on Jesus Christ, the foundation, the building, and all other ground is sinking sand. That's what it is. They can doctor it up for a little bit. They might think it looks good, but God don't get it. He don't get it. If he got it, he would probably let them finish building this city. But he said, let us go down. Because if they ever get their minds all set on one, he said, there's no stopping them. Well, I'm going to tell you what. God can bring things to an abrupt stop. Amen. And I would hate to know. I'll just say this. I am grateful for the opportunities of repentance that he's gave me. But I'm more grateful of this, that I seized the opportunity to repent of the times that he gave me. Because just because you say I'm sorry, that don't mean you repented. And I've said I'm sorry, Lord, quite a few times, and just got up and went on about my business. But when that inner man really gets humbled down to God, and he starts speaking to him and get that true repentance, because he said this, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, thus I'll not turn away. That might be leaving a word out of there, but that's the only way you're going to come to him. That's the only way you're going to come to him. But we don't have to sit around in a confounded language. You see, the world cannot understand the Spirit. They can't. Because that Spirit man ain't alive at that time. And that's why that a lot of people, they have read this and it's just a book. And they've been a lot of people that has been destroyed by the book. Bible says the letter killeth. You can take it. I can take it in here and I can just hurt somebody. But if you take it in the Spirit, it's going to have a different reaction than if I just take it word for word. There's a difference. Now, I'm going to tell you this. No matter how bad that some of them gets, that soul that's on the inside of a man still wants to know the truth. This mind don't want to know it, but this soul does. There's a fellow one time, and I've said it before probably here, but I'll say it again. He came in where I worked over there, and this preacher, man, he worked right across from me. And he said, on Monday, he said, this weekend, he said, we went to a party with a fella that my wife went to school with, said it was a meet my new partner party. And I said, well, I guess I just had to walk on out and go back to the house. And he talked there a minute, and he said something other than I did. He went on about his business. But in a few minutes, he came back. He said, well, let me ask you this. He said, what if a person believes in the Old Testament, but they don't believe in the New Testament. He said, what do you think about that? I said, if they don't believe in the New Testament, they're going to die and go to hell. And he got in an outrage. You don't have the right to say it. I said, I ain't saying it. Because if you don't believe the New Testament, you don't believe Christ came. If you don't believe Christ came, then ain't nothing for you to accept. And he said something else. Well, then that other preacher, he said, well, are they still sacrificing what like they're supposed to? And he said, well, no. He said, well, they don't believe the Old Testament either then. And then he just really blowed his top and went about his business. Well, this old woman, she stood up and she said, I can't believe he come over and challenged y'all. I said, I can. I said, because the soul was curious. But the mind, it wouldn't let it go no farther. But I didn't start the conversation, but I don't back down from them either. But always, I have always tried to pray, Lord, help me, that I try to speak what you have me to speak. Because the soul of man is a delicate part, the most delicate part, and it wants to know the truth. But because of this language, it's confounded by this language, a lot of them won't accept it because they can't get past this Tower of Babel that's right here. Because there's still a people trying to figure out how to get to heaven without Jesus. And it ain't going to work because he don't get us. He loves us, but he don't get us. And like I said before, he don't need... Whenever God saved me, it didn't make him no bigger. When he called me to preach, it didn't say to everybody that I ever speak to is going to get born again. I didn't make him no better, no greater. Sometimes I feel like I've heard his name more than I've helped it. But what we need to do, they got their language. We need to start speaking our language according to what the Spirit has us to do. I appreciate being here tonight. That's what I got. Anybody got anything they'd like to say or do?